Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Scott Benjamin, the auto editor here at HowStuffWorks.com, and I'm joined by Ben Bolin. How you doing, Ben?
I'm always doing well. Ben Bolin, a video writer here at HowStuffWorks as well. Scott, quick question.
Shoot it.
Have you heard of Punkin' Chunkin'?
As a matter of fact, I have. Big fan of Punkin' Chunkin'. It's an event that they hold every year, right? In Delaware, I believe it is.
It's a show as well.
A show?
Yeah. November 26th, which some of us may recognize as Thanksgiving evening, on the Science Channel. So good, they had to do it twice. There's Road to Punkin' Chunkin', which is at 8 p.m.
And then there's also Punkin' Chunkin', which is the actual event, I guess, itself, at 9 o'clock on that same night. So, again, check it out on the Science Channel. It's going to be a cool thing.
Scott?
Yes.
I have to have an intervention with you, bro.
An intervention? That sounds serious.
Mini-vention.
Oh, okay.
Okay? There's a little. It's just you, me, Jerry, and thousands of people listening.
This
out
is
there.
Awkward. What's going on?
It's awkward. Don't worry. We've just been talking about. We've realized, man, you're kind of a speed demon.
Yeah. You just realized that?
Well, okay.
It's addictive.
Operative phrase there being kind of.
Oh.
This is not an intervention to get you to stop speeding. This is an intervention to get you to speed faster, stronger, better. The $6 million speeder.
But safely.
But safely. Yes.
I think I know where you're going. This is. I'm excited about this. I'm totally excited.
Where
about
are we
this.
Going?
Top speed? Is that what we're talking about? Like just ultimate?
Yes.
Top speed?
Yes.
How fast?
How fast?
Yeah, how fast?
Let's see. What's the fastest you've ever gone?
Really? The fastest I've ever gone?
Now, don't you complete the fifth?
In
excess of 100, I would guess.
Yep, that's good enough.
Yeah. Excess of 100, less than 300.
Sure.
Okay. Let's take it up a notch. Let's take it. How do you feel about 500?
Wary.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I would be wary of going that fast. Yeah. In anything.
In anything.
In anything.
That's
but
fair.
People have gone faster.
How fast have people gone?
So far to date,
uh-huh.
Land speed record. The current land speed record is 763 miles per hour. And
wow.
that was set in 1997, so that was 12 years ago at this point.
You've turned the intervention on its head. Please go on.
But
700?
But yeah, there's no way I'm going to top that myself. Because we'll talk about someone who is going to try to top that.
Okay.
And try to top 763. And they're not just going to try to top it by a little bit, because that's kind of what they had they talked about. This team that we're going to mention here, they had an idea that they were going to top it by going 800 miles per hour.
Okay.
Now, remember, this is on land, so this is a wheeled vehicle, four wheels.
It's got to have. It's not a normal engine.
A normal engine, but they talked about going 800 miles per hour.
Okay.
They decided, why not go 1,000?
Okay, why not?
1,000.
Sure.
We're talking 1,000 miles per hour in a car.
On the ground.
On the ground.
Wow.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. That's faster than... That's faster, and I'll have to look this up here in just a moment, but that is faster than the and I'll probably mess up the way I say this, but the low-level flying speed. So you're talking about faster than an airplane that flies low to the ground, which is somewhere around 990-something or 970-something.
Is that Superman fast? Is that faster than a speeding bullet?
It is faster than a speeding bullet. And I want to mention that when we get to it, because this is one of those, like, you know, when we get to that point, I'll tell you how quickly this thing is moving and some of these unbelievable statistics about this car. You're not going to believe what you hear, and we'll briefly cover them, because I can't go too far in depth
them,
because there's a lot of physics involved.
Mm-hmm.
The car itself is called the Bloodhound SSC.
What does SSC stand for?
Supersonic car.
No.
And yep, supersonic car, because you're talking faster than the speed of sound. So the guy's breaking. This guy's going to be breaking the sound barrier on the ground. And now that's not unusual. The Thrust SSC, which is the car that holds the record right now, also broke the sound barrier, but only by like maybe 2 miles per hour average. And the driver was Andy Green, who is a Royal Air Force pilot. and he is also going to be the driver for the Bloodhound SSC.
It sounds like he may be the only person qualified.
Well, he's used to this high speed stuff, and he's used to being able to handle a vehicle at that speed. Now handling a car and a plane at that speed are two different
wildly
things.
Different. Yeah.
Now, I mean, obviously he's taking care of business with that thrust SSC.
Right.
But with the Bloodhound, he's going to be going,
300 miles faster?
300 miles. Yeah, almost 300 miles per hour faster than he was in the supersonic car that he drove 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Now, I assume he's going in a straight line somewhere in a desert.
He is, yeah. And they've narrowed it down to about three choices.
All right.
And the three choices, this is according to the most recent article I could find about this.
Okay.
There are two choices in the United States, and there's one in South Africa. And so far, they don't know which one, but it requires an incredible amount of distance. And, of course, they have to get the FIA Timing Association out there to make it an official land speed record for world.
Yeah.
It has to be a very official timed event where they travel. Well, there's 1 mile in between that's measured at speed, and they have to do it two passes within 1 hour of each other in order for it to be counted.
Oh, wow.
And it's
okay.
The average speed of those two runs. So it's very strict as far as what they have mm-hmm. to do in order to make it an official land speed record. Now, I guess getting back to the car, the project director is Richard Noble, and I don't know if you know his name or not, but he was with the Thrust SSC car as well. And again, the driver's Andy Green. Mm-hmm. The car, this is one of those bullet-shaped cars that are just enormous.
It's almost got a needle nose.
It does. Sure. It's really. Are you Guinness Book a fan? Did you ever read Guinness Book?
I am an enthusiast. Yes.
Okay. When I was a young boy, I had an old copy of a Guinness World Book of Records, and I think there was a vehicle called the Blue Flame.
Yes.
Something is that the one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Made your eyes light up. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. You like that one? That was a really cool, really cool looking car. It was just a rocket shaped vehicle with a big mm-hmm. fin on the back.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't look much like a car, really, but it looks more like a jet without wings.
Exactly.
And it's similar to what this is looking like. It's 42 feet long, this car.
Weird.
42 feet long, yeah. And it's got, of course, it weighs 6.5 tons when it's fully loaded. So that's, what, 12,000, 13,000 pounds, is that right?
A lot of weight is fuel, though,
about
right?
13,000 pounds. A lot of that weight is fuel. And that will be used up quickly in this mm-hmm. run because the top speed, again, is 1,050 miles per hour. That's what they're hoping for, is 1,050 miles per hour so that they can average above 1,000 miles per hour in that time section of the run.
I see.
And it's going to cost about... Oh, I'm sorry. I should just tell you that right now that it's a jet and rocket-powered car. So it has both a jet engine and a rocket on top, which is kind of a booster, and we'll talk about that in just a moment.
Yeah, but, okay.
The cost of this whole thing is approximately $16 million. $16 million for a car.
So wait, that might make it one of the most expensive cars.
I don't think so. I think some of these auction cars are going for a lot more than that. You know,
you're right.
The one-of-a-kind Bugattis and the Ferraris that they find in a barn or something.
And plus, those can turn.
Yeah. Yeah, good point. Good point, but they're not nearly as fast.
No, they're not nearly as fast.
Not nearly as fast. That's what this is all about, is just this one record run. It probably, if I had to guess, will end up in a museum somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, what's really cool about this is that they're inviting students to help with a lot of the technology that goes into building this vehicle. And it's kind of a boost for, this is a British vehicle, a British venture,
mm-hmm.
and they're asking students from universities all over Europe and saying, hey, we need help, you know, in deciding what's going to be the best material for this, or what should the intake design be like on this. And
that's awesome.
It's really cool, and the students are getting a lot of hands-on time with this vehicle and some real input. They're getting a lot of good training out of this.
That's
going to
be great for those kids.
It is. It's going to be great for, I guess, just the entire region, because it's going to get a lot of people really fired up and interested mm-hmm. about engineering and the possibilities of, you know, beyond school.
So blow me away with some stats on this car.
Okay. Well, I don't know if I'll blow you away or not, but actually, you know what? Maybe they will. We already talked about the distance and the mm-hmm. the overall speed and how strict, and
which is crazy considering the weight of this vehicle that it goes
oh yeah
that fast.
Yeah, I know, it's and the length of this thing, it's as big as a semi. You know, yeah. It's huge. It's really,
really
long.
But it makes sense if it's a rocket as well as a jet.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a rocket and a jet. I'm glad you mentioned that because it has this rocket. Let me see if I can find out what the rocket was here. I had it written down. Sorry.
No. I'll beatbox.
Nice work.
That was the worst ever.
the very funny. The
rocket.
Well, let's go with the jet first.
Let's go with the jet.
The jet first. The jet is an EJ-200 military turbofan jet, which apparently delivers about 20,000 pounds of thrust. And that's good for getting this thing up to 700 miles per hour. Okay, that's unbelievable to me.
Yeah.
700 miles per hour based on jet power alone. Now, that's not enough. So 700 miles per hour, not enough.
That doesn't even beat the world record.
No, it doesn't. And this is crazy. So there's this hybrid rocket, and the hybrid rocket is capable of an additional 20,500 pounds of thrust. So and the hybrid rocket, which fires later in the run, and we'll talk about the timing of all this because that's probably the most remarkable thing.
You're reading my mind with this.
This hybrid rocket that's being developed. It burns concentrated hydrogen peroxide and synthetic rubber. That's the solid propellant.
Oh.
So it has liquid and solid propellant. And that requires, this hybrid rocket requires a fuel pump. Guess what they're using as the fuel pump? I don't know if you know this or not.
I don't.
Okay, this is unbelievable to me. The fuel pump is operated by, and this is the sole purpose of this engine.
Okay.
There's an 800 horsepower 4.5-liter V12 racing engine that's also in this vehicle that is strictly for pumping the fuel into the hybrid rocket. And it also does have other purpose. I think it's also for it operates on hydraulics and electric power, I believe, when it's not at speed. Maybe cooling, now that I think about it. But it's unbelievable to me that they need an 800 horsepower V12 racing engine as a fuel pump in this thing because of just the amounts of fuel that it consumes at speed. It has to just force feed this thing fuel.
That's bonkers.
It truly is. I mean, in a car, this 800 horsepower engine would be enough, you know, to propel it that, you know, who knows how fast. I mean, several hundred miles per hour, I would guess.
Yeah.
Maybe not. 800 horsepower. And it's kind of getting up there in the
air. And it literally burns rubber. I like that.
Yeah, it literally does. You know, I didn't think of it that way. It literally does burn rubber. You're right. So it's this thing is just unbelievable. I mean, it has oh, one other thing that's really cool about it.
What's that?
Regular wheels would just disintegrate. So it doesn't have rubber wheels. It doesn't even have carbon fiber wheels. This thing has solid metal wheels, and they're made of titanium.
Titanium?
Solid titanium wheels.
Oh, man. I actually have a few friends who are very much like to be prominent rap celebrities. And it's true. I've got to call them and let them know this is the new thing.
Oh, this would have them beat.
Just have rims.
No, and there's no. These aren't just rims. These are the full thing. These are right from the hub all the way out to the end. They cut the tread into the titanium, and that's another thing. You know, I read this, and I don't have it with me, but I remember them saying that it's difficult to understand what kind of tread we're going to need to cut into this titanium because, number one, we're talking about a vehicle that's traveling at 1,000 miles per hour over the ground.
Yeah.
Number two, the grip that we're going to need on the surface, and then what surface? Because they don't know what they're...
Which of the three locations?
Which of the three locations, and they're all very different surfaces. Not very, but they're all different surfaces. And, they have a different depth of hardness, where you can reach something that, you can't poke a knife past, maybe a couple millimeters. Some are a little bit softer than others, and they just don't know all of this yet. So getting this together is really difficult. But the solid titanium wheels, the reason that they can't have any kind of other material on these things, the G's that this thing experiences at the wheels.
Yeah.
Now this is just the wheels, not the spinning force on the wheels, not the driver. The wheels experience 50,000 G's at speed.
Which, oh, wow, that's crazy.
50,000 times the, so, the spinning rotation of it. I think they said it was something like 10,000 revolutions per minute or something for the wheels. And that's normally how fast, let's say, like a motorcycle engine is spinning. That's the wheel spinning. And this is an enormous wheel. It's huge. So you can imagine the speed that this thing is traveling. 50,000 Gs at the wheel is what these things have to put up with. And that's why titanium is necessary.
Because nothing else could. I mean, well, an aluminum alloy wheel.
No, the thrust. Yeah, I'm glad. You know what? Aluminum is what the thrust SSC used. They used aluminum, solid aluminum. So because that one apparently at 763 miles per hour, it only 35,000 Gs is what the wheels are pulling on that one. And aluminum was apparently strong enough, but this exceeds the capabilities of aluminum.
You got to love how we started this podcast wowed by this, and now we're saying things like only 700.
You know, I'm still wowed by this, and I think you're about to be even more wowed, because this is a chart that I'll do my best to describe this, but
okay.
if somebody wants to follow along at home, this comes from National Geographic online magazine, or National Geographic magazine, from October 9th of this year, and they have this fantastic graph that shows the speed of the Bloodhound SSC, the distance it travels, and the time it takes to get there. And it's in relatively easy steps.
Lay it on me.
Okay, so I guess the best way to do it is go through the steps, and I'll just kind of mention the speed and time as we go along.
Yes.
Okay, so as we read through the six steps, and they're short, the driver fires the jet engine, getting the car up to 350 miles per hour in just 25 seconds.
25 seconds?
25 seconds. So 25 seconds... 350 miles per hour jet power alone, okay?
Wow.
Okay, now, by the time, and this is not one of the steps here, but by the time that the vehicle reaches 2 miles away from the starting point, it's traveling at 800 miles per hour. So 2 miles away, it's already going 800 miles per hour, and that is roughly, if I'm guessing right, looks like about 32 seconds in, 31, something like that.
This is still not a minute.
No, not even close, yeah. It'll be done in a minute, in 1 minute. So, step two, the hybrid rocket engine ignites and adds thrust, pushing the car to 1,000 miles per hour. It hits 1,000 miles per hour right about a little over 3 miles, it looks like, from the starting point. So it's by the 3 miles away from where it first starts rolling.
It's at 1,000.
1,000 miles per hour, and it will continue going traveling up to 1,050 miles per hour at 45 seconds. So 45 seconds from start, when you ignite that engine, you're traveling at 1,050 miles per hour. So that's a lot to adjust to in that time.
Which is the fastest a human being has probably traveled.
I don't know. There may have been someone on a rocket sled or something that's gone faster. But
we talked this about that possibly.
But this is something where the driver is in control. He's not just sitting there, not just letting it happen to him. He's actively controlling this vehicle.
So, you're right. Yeah,
this is ultimate driving, I guess. I don't know how to describe it.
It's history in the making.
It is, really.
I mean, sorry I interrupted.
No, that's all right. I mean, it's unbelievable to me how quickly this thing gets up to 1,000 miles per hour. 45 seconds, 1,050 miles per hour. At that top speed, the rocket thrust stops, and it begins to coast down to a stop because it can't immediately apply brakes. So the jet engine stops, the driver deploys the air brakes. And if needed, there's parachutes as well to kind of slow this thing down. So quickly, between top speed at 45 seconds and 54 seconds, which is just 9 seconds later, the car has already slowed down to just above 400 miles per hour.
That's
so
nuts.
So he's dropping 650 miles per hour in about 9 seconds.
The deceleration on the driver has to be enormous, right?
It's above 3 Gs that he's pulling, 3 negative Gs. So the acceleration is somewhere around, I believe the acceleration was around 2.5 positive Gs, you know, when he's, or, I don't know if that's, positive Gs. When he's decelerating, 3 Gs is what the, you know, when he hits the brakes and the chutes and, you know, lets it decelerate. It's not until he gets down to below 200 miles per hour that he's able to even begin to apply the brakes. There's hydraulic brakes. And that's when he can finally bring it to a full stop. Now, guess the distance. You probably already know this. Maybe I shouldn't even ask. Should I just tell you?
Yeah, just tell me.
Okay.
I don't know.
He, at that point, and this is at a minute and 28 seconds. He's at the 10-mile mark. He's gone 10 miles in 1 minute and 28 seconds.
Wow.
So that gives you an idea of the distance traveled when he hits top speed to the point where he stops. It's unbelievable. And I think I read somewhere, and this is one maybe... Well, I've got a couple more quick facts that are unbelievable, but how about I'll just hit you with these, because the last one I think is maybe the best one.
Okay, save the best one for last. Then.
At maximum speed, with the top speed being 1,050, the Bloodhound is more than four times as fast as a Ferrari Enzo. So you know the ultimate top end Ferrari, four times faster than the Ferrari Enzo.
No, those guys are going to be mad. Oh, that's why they bought the ride.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. And get this. Here's another one. I also read that at top speed, when it's being measured in that...
In that 1 mile?
In that 1 mile that's being measured. So it's top speed, you know, from 1 mile or, you know, point, you know, 0 feet to... oh, boy. I just stuck myself there. How many feet is a mile? Eh, whatever. 1 mile. 3.6 seconds is all it takes for him to travel that distance in between start and finish.
That's so not even... 4 seconds.
I know.
Not as even I helpfully
four,
point well, out.
Thank you. That's much better. So under 4 seconds, 1 mile, and this is the crazy part. The people that are doing the timing, they actually go out and they look for tire tracks in the material, you know, because it's usually a softer type material,
right,
like a sand or salt material that they're looking.
Sure.
They look for tire tracks in there to prove that the vehicle is on the ground at that point and not just really what amounts to a low-flying car.
Which is a good, I mean, I guess they have to do that.
They
it's
have
a
to
good
make,
procedure.
Yeah, they have to make sure that there's tracks the entire distance. And remember, at the 10-mile point, this thing has to turn around, line itself up, refuel, get ready to go again, and do another blast the opposite direction the same way. And, okay, my last fact. I feel like I'm just, blah.
Give me a second. I have to have a mental drum roll.
Okay.
All right, go.
This may be the coolest thing. At speed... If someone were to fire a 357 Magnum in the exact, you know, parallel to the vehicle when it's at speed, the Bloodhound SSC would beat the bullet. It's faster than a speeding bullet.
Quite literally.
Faster than a bullet fired from a 357 Magnum, which travels at 971 miles per hour.
Oh, not good enough, 357.
That's right.
Try again.
I mean, we're talking like 300 miles per hour faster than this bullet? Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm wrong. No, it's like
100.
It's like, yeah.
A little less than 100 miles.
80 miles faster than this than this speeding bullet.
That's nuts.
I keep saying speeding bullet.
We finally got somebody able to pull off the Superman trick at least once.
In a car.
Well, there are some qualifiers, but
isn't
still.
This car is unbelievable. And you know, you pointed this out to me. You brought this to my attention. You sent me the link, and I've just been investigating it, looking at the Bloodhound SSC site, and the team. You know, everybody involved with it is on the site there, and you can make donations. You can buy merchandise.
You can stay up to date on the latest.
You can donate, and you can also get your name on the fin, the tail fin. If you donate above a certain point, and I don't think it's that much. I think it was it's in pounds, whatever it was. I think it's 10 pounds maybe.
That's really cool.
It's really a cool project, and there's a lot that's going into it, and there's a ton of material to read about this thing. And it seems like every time you read another paragraph, you come up with some just astounding fact, something that just blows you away with the speed and the forces involved. It's unbelievable what this guy's going to go through in order to get this to happen.
Well, let's hope that Mr. Green, or I guess I should say his Air Force title, but I don't know.
Yeah.
But let's hope Mr. Green is safe out there.
I think he will be. I mean, it seems like this is going to be a successful run just because of the amount of effort that's being put into it ahead of time. And Richard Noble and his team and, everybody that is involved with it, I know that they're safety is, of course, paramount to them, so they're not going to do anything that is, in any way dangerous the driver. So
and their experience the thrust. So.
Other than letting him drive 1,050 miles per hour.
Well, sure, if you want to split hairs. Yeah. Well, Scott, it sounds like our intervention has been successful here. You have found something that can get you from kind of a speed demon all the way to a speed demon.
Is that really successful, or is it that failed?
Well, the unexamined life is not worth living.
I don't think I would. I wouldn't put myself in the seat of this thing. Would you?
Oh man, I haven't thought about that until you said it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
you would.
I
no wait. Okay, wait. I always go back to this. I know, but You will not drive uphill fast in the Pikes Peak hill race, the
uphill
hill climb competition.
Uphill precipice,
You're not going to shoot off the top. This thing is going 1,050 miles per hour. You would do this, really?
Well, sure.
Oh, well, good
it's
for you.
It's all on the ground. I'm good. Never going to be more than 50 feet off the ground. You know.
Well, I hope it remains on the ground.
Well, there is that, and plus the price is. I think the risk is worth it, Scott, because if you survive, you become the holder of the land speed record.
Sure.
So there is glory at the end.
Sure. Until someone goes 1,051 miles per hour.
That, you know what? Then that turnabout is fair play. But if
but
I go on
what?
Pike's Peak, I'll just be a guy who went over the cliff.
Now, see the current record. You're absolutely right. That, you know, I mean. I guess that current record has stood for, what did I say, 12 years now?
Yeah.
So the record probably will stand for a while. It takes a long time to make these efforts happen.
And a lot of technology, too.
Yeah, it sure does.
A lot of smart people.
It really does. So, I don't know, you probably would be safe for a while with your record and your ultimate fame.
Yeah, well, let's take it to the streets, speaking in the internet sense. Our listeners out there, you guys, tell us what you think. Would you hop in this crazy supersonic car? Is the ability to get the land speed record worth the risk? Or do you have a suggestion for us to spend some time on in a future episode? If so, please send us an email at highspeedstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com. And be sure to check out the High Speed Stuff blog on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.